Okay, so is my sound okay? You guys can hear me? Okay, so let's switch gear a little bit. My name is Yusheng Wen, and I'll be talking about the Auto Discovery Works. And as you can see, this is a joint presentation from the author of the two drafts. Okay, so this is the outline that we'll go over today. And incidentally, so draft Wang, our draft, actually takes a little bit more horizontal approach, as in we examine the basic protocols and evaluate them against the potential requirements and scenarios. And draft Song actually takes a little bit more vertical approach, as in they go into more a little bit more on the scenarios and how the potential discovery framework would look like. So it's actually a pretty good complementary to each other. So I'll be finishing up the mechanisms, and Haibin will take over and talk about a couple of the strawman frameworks. Okay, so to set expectation, the charter said clearly that we should reuse existing mechanisms, protocols, or framework as much as possible. So if we want something new, we have to justify clearly that we actually need something new. So the approach taken here is basically we just survey the field and find all the existing potential solutions, and we evaluate them against potential requirements. And of course, the final Auto solution, what would that look like? And the deployment scenarios. And I think the end, excuse me, the result of the work would be a recommendation, maybe more than one, as we will see in the next slide, for different kind of potential multiple discovery framework for different deployment scenarios, but would be mostly from existing works. Okay, so let's look a little bit into the metrics. So before we go into that, I do want to caution that at this point, we are staying at a pretty high level, as in we are not going into the detail of how you configure your DNS servers or DHT servers, for example, but we'll be evaluating because I believe most people here are pretty familiar with those mechanisms. So we'll be doing the high level analysis, and as the Auto solutions and requirements work progress, and we'll get into a little bit more detail as the time progress. Okay, so from the metrics part, I think the first one and the third one, I'll lump them together. The first one is about who is doing the discovery. I mean, whether it's the application trackers or versus the peers. And the third one is actually where and how the Auto servers are deployed. So these two potentially would affect how the discovery mechanism is going to work. I mean, potentially this is the difference between a cross-domain discovery versus a more localized discovery, as in if you have an ISP-centric Auto server deployment and your client is the peer, then DHCP may make sense, but DHCP probably won't work very well for cross-domain discovery. Of course, we can always do hybrid approach, as in the peers actually perform their local discovery and then somehow convey the Auto server they discover to the application tracker, for example. But then, you will have to change the application protocol to support that. Now, the second point regarding whether it's a single Auto server for a given client or it's a distributed implementation of the Auto services, I think our view is from the discovery perspective, it doesn't make that much difference because potentially you still need to find the first one, either a bootstrap or a rendezvous point that you can kind of get into the Auto server network, for example. So you still need to discover something. Of course, how the servers are distributed will affect how the discovery is going to work. And the final point is from the layering perspective, this it really doesn't matter that much other than if we have a pretty high level protocol for the final Auto solution, such as like web service, or you really want to do something on SOAP, then maybe a more application layer approach makes a little bit more sense, a little bit more coherent. So that's kind of just the only point that I want to make here. Okay, so let's look at a couple of obvious candidates here. So for DHCP, the point that I want to make here is actually the DHCP's negotiation happens during network attachment. So this would imply some sort of service or you record the state somewhere for the subsequent peer-to-peer application to be able to access the original exchange, from the information from the original DHCP exchange. And obviously, this works better for the peer-based discovery. If you have a tracker-based discovery, then it probably doesn't make sense to use DHCP. Okay, next one. Okay, so the key here for DNS discovery is, I think it's worth pointing out that DNS discovery implies that you either have a well-known name or you have a well-known port, or you have to use SRV record to query the port. But you actually need to know what name you want to you want to find. Otherwise, you actually need to do a pre-discovery, and it probably doesn't make that much sense here as a standalone discovery mechanism. Obviously, it supports cross-domain discovery better than DHCP, and everything else should all be pretty obvious. Okay. Now, for multicast, you can either multicast the request on demand, or we do a service announcement periodically. And the obvious problem is that multicast, I mean, for the default usage, is scoped down to single LAN. So, I mean, anything across LAN, you are not going to find it. And of course, and if your client is behind net boxes, it's the same constraint. Actually, I should mention that for DHCP as well. So say your ISP actually has a DHCP settings, and your net box need to be able to relay that information appropriately to the clients behind that. So that's also something for DHCP as well. And I think this is to the extent of my part. So Haibin will talk about the sort of more vertical approach here.
I'm Haibin from Huawei. So here, we'll begin with the Spielman framework about auto self-discovery. We will first look at the discovery by peers, and then we'll look at discovery by trackers. We use DHCP and DNS for auto self-discovery, and you know the discovery by peers and by application trackers are quite different. So first, like, let's look at the discovery by peer. So a client, we have two steps. At first step, a client uses DHCP to retrieve the service name of the local auto service. Oh, it is really ISP-centric because you have many auto servers in the ISP's network. So the client, what the auto service name, auto server, the client retrieve from the DHCP server is the service name of the local auto server. So, and for this step, you should, here is an example of the auto service name. It's auto.tcp.mysp.com. And why we use DHCP to retrieve the service name instead of the IP address, because a service name unlikely to change after the IP address may be changed. So here we need to give some consideration to the residential gateways or home routers because they can also act as the DHCP server for your home network. You can refer to our draft for the details of the consideration. And for the second step, the peer then uses DNS SRV query for the address of the auto server information, address information. Here, the load balance mechanism of SRV can be reused here. For example, the priority field and the wait field. Next. How to?
There's no controls there.
Oh, next slide. OK. Here, let's look at the discovery by trackers. It's different from discovery process by peers. So we also have two steps. The first step, the application tracker must get the ISP or an AS information of its client first. For example, you can use the RNAA database, and the client may also send its ISP AS information to the tracker. Before that, the client may retrieve the ISP AS information from the DHCP server, or something like that. And for the second step, the tracker sends the DNS SRV query to retrieve the address information of the auto server for this client. You know that for the application tracker, then it has many clients. It may retrieve a different auto server for different clients. Okay, next slide. Okay, here let's look at the menu configuration for auto server discovery. I think many people may be quite familiar with this. I don't will waste time to talk talk about it, but it has a limit when used in mobility scenarios, because when a peer moves from one place to another, the autosave may change. Next slide, please. So when we design the autosaver discovery framework, there are some concerns. First, load balance among autoservers. It may be, we may use server redirection, or it can be achieved in the autosaver discovery process or the combination of them. So, and we should also give thought to if autosaver provided the autoservice through a well-known port or not. We should also consider the rapid address changes of auto servers. For mobility scenarios of auto clients, we should also give some consideration. For example, once a client has located its auto server for future use, but the client may move to other places. Okay, next slide, please. Here is the next steps. Both teams have agreed on. Two teams will work on the merged IED and the summit after this IETF meeting. And we will look forward to the feedbacks from the work group about this issue. For example, you can provide other discovery mechanism or frameworks to the mailing list, and we need some consideration for map architecture decisions to the discovery discussion. Questions? Thank you.
Can you go back to the first DHCP slide?
All the way.
Pros and cons?
All the way in the beginning, or?
Pros and cons.
First? This one.
So you say require support in end user equipment, home routers. So I like DHCP. It makes things in the network layer very easy to solve and everything. It's not clear to me how you get the DHCP information from the home routers into the clients. Am I missing something here?
So let me try to answer that. So actually, personally, it's not too clear to me as well. So what I meant was, if you have an ISP actually provisioning some information through DHCP, it's not clear to me whether the home router, which actually accept the DHCP from ISP, and then do their own DHCP offer to the client in the back end. Okay. So there might be a gap there that we didn't know about. But that is specifically the issue that we want to address there. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that we've got work on this in GeoProof at the moment. And this is not an easy problem to solve. Yeah. You've got a lot of home gateways that talk PPP. And they are configured over PPP. They'll configure the hosts that they serve with DHCP, but they don't have any way to get this information themselves. So I'd encourage you to have a look at the work that's going on in GeoProof for doing this. It's incomplete, but if you want to discuss this sort of thing, then I think you really need to look into this in a little bit more depth.
Okay.
Just, I don't know, Lisa, if you have any interest in reiterating some of the things that you had to say about the service discovery problem at the Apps Open Area meeting. But, I mean, clearly this is something that a ton of people have studied, and there are many difficult problems with this. And the last thing we want to do is invent yet another of these wheels. But
And you all know how I feel. There can be only one. It would be as bad as having two IPs. No, I never actually feel that way. And as I learn more about the discovery problem, it really is a big one. Resource discovery when you within an HTTP server or jumping from one resource to another is one thing, and service discovery is another thing. And I hope those labels are somewhat resonant, because I'm not going to explain them here. Some good presentations from the app area meeting are already uploaded, and so I urge you to go take a look at those. And certainly local discovery, perhaps through DHCP, is another thing that's different enough to require its own solutions. I don't know if there are other more different things that require solutions, but I'm not familiar with any others beyond those three that are really different. They should all be fairly straightforward. They can all be fairly easily implemented, and especially on clients. So patching them together is also a great thing. Any other corrections on that?
So just want to comment that I forgot to say that we actually haven't looked into kind of more composite, like discovery approach, such as maybe multicast DNS, MDNS is one, XRDS, or something like that. And there are certainly other discovery mechanisms. That would be our next step, to look into those framework and evaluate against our requirement and see whether those fits or doesn't fit. I mean, I don't know yet, so.
Great.
Matt, did you have something? I didn't want to scare you away. Okay. If there's no other questions, I mean, can we get a general sense of the room? Do people think this we're not asking to adopt any documents here as working group items, but does this seem like a promising direction? Does anybody here who thinks we should push this work off to later, or that this is something important for us to do now, or just general on the problem? Mr. Resnick.
Pete Resnick. So, and I will defer to the chairs on where you want this discussion and when you want this discussion. I've got a basic architectural question that probably goes back to the protocol, not just the service discovery, which is, this is a straight up query response thing. The clients query the server when the clients feel like it, the server responds. And the server can say, no, I don't feel like responding, but that's about it. And I've got this picture in my head of the underlying topology changes because some link goes down, and every client on the ISP suddenly decides now is the time to blast another question. And there's nothing in the requirements document that I see about notifications, such that if the servers notice something is different, they can notify the clients that have asked them, or registration services. There's nothing like that. This is straight query response. And I want to find out what the implications of that are, and I don't know if now is the time because we're talking about what general direction we're going, or is this a later discussion, or this was chartering time and it's over.
Sure. I mean, I would think that's slightly different from this question about discoveries.
Yeah. That's why I'm not sure where to insert this into the conversation.
I mean, so. I don't specifically recall anything about like avalanche restart and so on being in the requirements. It's true, and that is probably something we should be thinking about. But as far as I understand, I mean, generally, yes, we don't have a concept that these servers keep state and remember who all asked about what and where they are. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's some people here that wouldn't be comfortable with that.
I understand that. Yeah.
But I think that might be a question actually probably best taken to the list at this point or taken offline right now. But.
Aaron Hammer. On the discovery front, I just want to make a point that when you're looking at discovery solution, especially existing mechanisms, it's really important to separate between how you find the location of the service and then how you describe the service. So you can combine existing solution. You don't have to kind of get stuck with, if you're using DNS, then you have to find a way to cram all your configuration into DNS records or everything into DHCP records or if you're going to use something else. So it's really good to look at the discovery problem as two separate questions. Is first of all, where is what I'm looking for, and then how it's being described. And that decoupling helps find existing solution and use them instead of making up new ones.